Blog Talk Radio.
So, you've been told to be patient, to let things unfold, that coming into union is a process. You've heard again and again that in order to love another, you need to learn to love yourself first and eliminate your blocks to love. And you're seriously working on that. So, is this true? How patient do you have to be? And is it really possible to create sacred union? That is what we are going to talk about today on this program. Welcome to the Collective Awakening, where we have cozy conversations with all kinds of light workers, way showers, and healers on a variety of hot ascension topics. I'm your host, Debbie Dubois, and I want to thank you for joining me to talk about everything from new relationships, twin flames, and sacred unions, to tarot and astrology, to Chinese medicine and advancing healing modalities, and more. The Collective Awakening is brought to you by the RVF Radio Network and True Sacred Unions, the Awakening Toolbox. Heed the call to conscious living with the Collective Awakening. Well, everybody, it's Debbie Dubois here again. On today's show, we're going to celebrate Valentine's Day a little early, as Valentine's Day is Thursday, February 14th this year, but who knows, maybe you'll be listening to this show on Valentine's Day, and if so, our guest today should provide great inspiration and patience for anyone who desires to have that really incredible sacred partner in their life. My guests are Rob and Angie, who are two dear friends of mine. They are twin flames in union. Rob and Angie met in July 1997, long before they ever knew what twin flames were. They had a very unique first meeting. They shared a magical 17-hour day together in the Canadian mountains, the Canadian Rockies, I should say, that solidified their deep soul bond. And despite 7 years of separation, their infinite bond grew and drew them back together after they had done the individual work that they needed to do to heal and find their wholeness within. Amazingly enough, their reunion started on November 11th, 2014. They then got married on July 25th, 2017, which was 20 years from the day they met. They have since been on mission, first by sharing their story in an incredible series of videos, all created to help others on the journey. Now they're starting a new video series called Creating Union to offer practical tips on how others can create harmonious union within themselves, their divine partner, and others in their lives. As twin flames with an infinite bond, they are Twinfinity. So, Angie and Rob, welcome to the Collective Awakening.
Hello, and so lovely to connect with you again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you guys on. I couldn't have thought of anyone else that I would rather have on for a Valentine's Day show.
Aw, that's so sweet.
Yeah, I mean, ever since we met, and I want to talk a little bit about that, but ever since we met, it's kind of like, I don't know, you guys have always been my inspiration, if you will, of the outcome of the journey for when we come into wholeness and where we can actually end up. And you just are a lot of inspiration for a lot of people. So,
well, thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about how we met in Chicago.
Yes.
Chicago for me was something that had to be done. It came up as an opportunity where twin flames were getting together and we were still, well, relatively fresh into our reunion, I'll call it. And I felt that we had to meet others who were on what I thought would be the same journey. So there was no doubt in my mind, work had to stop. Any other form of play had to stop. I had to go.
Right.
Yeah, and I felt this strong call to go, but it was like I more understood it was for people who were struggling on the journey and needed help. And I, you know, said to Rob, well, like, we're together. Are we going to look weird if we go? You know, I was all concerned. Are we going to be like the freaks and everybody's looking at us going, why are you here? But I just had this strong call that we had to be there. And I'm so glad we both listened because we met you there. We met so many amazing people. And it's absolutely changed our lives.
Well, I remember, you know, so much has changed even since that day in terms of connection, and people have come so far. But I've got to tell you, yes, we were very surprised. I think a bunch of us were very surprised to find several couples who had at least connected and come together to the event, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. Now, I think that as far as I know right now, you two are the only ones that are like, I want to say together in the way that you are, which that has just been an incredible experience to get to know you since then. And we have so many things I want to talk about, but before we do anything, I also want to say that, you know, when I met you guys in Banff again, once we spent more time together, it really did consolidate all of the feelings that I had about what union looks like, because union endures, and it's really a challenge to get to that place. But once you're there, it really does endure. And you guys just are such a great example of that.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting to hear your comments, because sometimes we just take us just a little bit, I don't want to say for granted, but we are where we are at. And we've had a little bit of a, I guess I'd call it an awakening to just how difficult it is, because we've had to go back and look at ourselves and how we got here, to understand what all the struggles were about that we went through, and to understand that other people are going through various stages of those struggles too, and those challenges. It really is a blessing for us to be where we're at, although it's still work, just like every other relationship every day.
Oh, absolutely. But that's what I love about you guys, is that you're really, you know, we talk about twin flames, and that's a beautiful thing. But the truth is that love is global. And, you know, relationships, like you said, are challenging. And what you're really doing, and I'm chilling on this, is coming forward as twin flames, but you're coming forward in two people who have become united in a really, really solid, healthy, beautiful, wonderful relationship that, yes, does take work, but you're sharing that with others. And this just really is not limited to a small group. This is really much bigger than that, which is why I really wanted you two to be the people that I chose for the Valentine's Day episode, because you are a burning example of what a good relationship looks like. And let's face it, our world runs on love and money, or spiritual love and abundance, whichever way you want to look at it. So the service that you do by sharing, you know, we'll talk about this. We got some things to talk about what you're doing. But it's making a tremendous difference, and will probably make more of a difference than you know, on a bigger scale. So
it certainly seems important that we keep sharing our story.
Mm-hmm.
People keep telling us that they need to hear more. So we're not going to stop. We're just going to keep on going. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's amazing the hope it seems to offer people. And, you know, who needs hope in this journey? I mean, we all do, right? Because it's not an easy road.
Oh, my gosh. No, it isn't. Life is not. And we're at ascension right now.
So. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So, all right, without further ado, I just want to move on to, now you have done videos of your story. How many videos were there?
Well, it's funny. I was just looking at that the other day, and I was actually astonished myself to find out that we're at now 71 videos.
Oh my God.
Which,
wow.
We never thought we'd do one, let alone 71.
Wow. That is amazing. Now tell our listeners what made you decide to share your story. I mean, you kind of touched on it.
Yeah, so we did the Chicago workshop, of course, just to for people that don't maybe know what the Chicago workshop was. This was put on by Dio Veselinoff and then many others of you, like you, Deb, that were there as facilitators. And we loved the Chicago workshop so much. We just connected it, just for Rob, especially.
Oh.
He awoke from that huge.
Yeah, I realized that I really wasn't alone out there in my feelings and thoughts, and that it was very bonding for me. Very, very, a lot of like-minded individuals there. It just woke me right up to the possibilities of where everything could go.
Well, it's connection with others that understand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much so.
And then there was Boston.
Yeah, and then when we heard about Boston, there was no second guessing like there was in Chicago. Should we go? Are we going to look weird? We didn't care. We were just like, we need to be there. These are our family. These are our friends. We got to go.
Right.
And so when we were there, we connected again with one of the other facilitators that was at the first one, which was Marla Kelly.
Right.
And she had asked us if during one of the breaks through the workshop, we would do an interview with her just to tell a little bit about our story of how we got to Union. And so, of course, we did that. And then once we came back in session with everybody else and they found out, you know, what we were doing on our break, they wanted to know, well, what is the story? Like, how did you guys get to where you are? So we told a bit of the story and the room was dead silent. Like, you could hear a pin drop and everybody was just in awe. And Rob and I are kind of looking at each other going, what's the big deal?
It's just our story.
It's our story.
But it was obvious that people wanted / needed to hear it.
Yes.
Right.
Just to know, you know, what you experience and how you get there and the work that's required, that you can get to Union, that it's not just some fairy tale that's out there that's not real.
Right.
And so we came home from Boston and decided to put together what I thought was going to be 12, maybe 15 or 16 videos just to tell our story a little bit more in depth than what we had during the Boston workshop.
Right.
Well, did it not finish at what, about
44
videos, approximately an hour long each. We went out to the mountains many times and just took the laptop with us and whatever we had to sit down and bring notes and journals that Angie had. And we'd just do videos out in nature for the most part. And unless it was too cold, then we did some inside. We tried to do one a week, and it basically took us a year to tell our story.
Yeah, it did.
And they're amazing videos, and anyone that has not seen them, you know, I'm assuming your station on YouTube is Twinfinity.
Yes.
And people can find those videos there if they're interested in how you came into Union. Now, you two, you didn't know about your connection as Twin Flames, so how, you know, in a very abbreviated form, of course, because we want to get more questions in, but how did you come into Union? Rob, maybe you'd give me your side, and Angie, you give me your side, just a, you know, a brief synopsis.
Well, very, very briefly, I look back at it, it was a slow, steady, unplanned growth. Angie and I had come together back in 1997, and we drifted apart through 1998 and 1999. I always make it sound so abrupt, but it really was a slow tearing apart in many ways. Mm-hmm. And then I had gone out and lived a whole bunch of life. I'd had another very deep long-term relationship that through that and other people that I met, I just was continuously growing and growing and growing, both spiritually and personally. Things would come into my life that would cause me to grow that extra 1% per week or whatever you would call it. And then when Angie and I got back together, I was a lot more ready for Angie 17 years later than what I was the first time.
I bet.
But I had no idea of our connection or what it was about. I was just living my life, recognizing that I was growing, but not knowing what it was going to lead to.
Right.
And not even knowing that you were growing for a specific purpose.
No, I thought I was just growing for the sake of growth, living a good life.
Whereas my path was very different. I awoke shortly before Rob and I even met, and my work was very conscious and very diligent, hard work throughout our time together and even our time apart. So it's funny how different we both were in our experiences while we were apart. As I say, mine was a lot of very conscious, deep healing work.
Right.
And for me, I discovered that the twin flame term in 2012, just as Rob and I were starting to redevelop a friendship, oddly enough,
mm-hmm.
or more maybe synchronistically enough. And so it took me a year and a half to finally tell him we were twin flames. And when I told him, he just got it without him even reading anything, knowing anything, never hearing the term before. It just clicked in his mind.
Back in 1997, 98, 99, I would have had no concept, understanding, caring, or even thought of even embracing the thought of twin flames.
Mm-hmm.
The work I'd done when we were in separation all those years had completely opened up that possibility to me to accept and understand and embrace the thought of twin flames. And so Angie coming back into my life when she did with the knowledge that she had was, I'd call that divine timing. I was not ready many years ago, completely ready for the answer as to what our connection was that we just couldn't ever seem to get rid of.
Yes.
it was something that it took a decade and a half to learn how to accept that concept, even though I had no idea about it until I heard about it right at the end of that phase of my spiritual growth.
That is, not unusual in that, we connect with that higher aspect of ourself through this whole process. Especially I can say in Angie's, in your experience, how you were digging deep and how you were doing a lot of healing. It's like almost as we connect more and more with our higher expression, it just begins to make sense. It begins to make sense about how we are not singular,
Very much so. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So you guys are going to start a new video series. Creating Union. And I love that idea. Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, we often get asked, so of course, after we did our story, we would get many questions. So we've been doing a lot of question and answer videos as well, just answering people's questions in video to help, the spiritual community. And one of the questions we so often get asked is, well, what's the secret to union? Like, how did you guys get there? It's almost like everybody's looking for that magic key, that one tip,
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as we all know, there isn't just one, there's many. So we've been thinking, how can we assist people in a better, more solid way? Because we see the struggle, we see the pain people go through, we know it, we've lived it ourselves. And so the inspiration just came a couple weeks ago of all these different ideas on little tips to give people in different areas of life to help them move forward.
Right. And what's so beautiful about this is that it's like, I love the fact that it's called Creating Union. And that means that it's not limited. It's union is something that we can create with all people. We can create union with soulmates, with twin flames, with our friends, our neighbors, our family. It's just more general, and yet, everything is based in relationship. So union of souls.
Exactly. It's not just union with a divine partner, a twin flame, a soulmate. Our goal is to make it more global so that it's first and foremost about having union with yourself.
Right.
Because not just the twin flame path, but any path. You can't have union with another until you have union with self.
Absolutely.
So it's very much about having union with self and then having union with another, whether you want to call that a divine partner, a twin flame, a soulmate.
doesn't matter what the label is, right? It's just about connecting in a love relationship. But then also remembering that we are one with everybody and everything. So learning to have union with everybody around us.
Right. What do you think, Rob? Are you excited?
Well, yes, I am, because it's taken me a long time thinking about it, because people have been asking, how do you get into union? How do you create union? And it is a tough question. I've had to stop and review our path to union. Other people have told us their paths, some of the things that have been successful and some of the things that haven't worked for them. It's actually taken a lot of time. I'm going to say the past 3 years for me, of just gathering information, just to encompass what it all can take, watching where others have struggled, watching where others have been successful, and plus our own story. It's a big question. It's going to be a few videos.
I bet it is. Yeah, I think that, you know, it's funny because I just in agreement with that, it does seem that in my experience that a lot of people think that there's like magic pills, you know, but it's actually such a process that is, I want to say, orchestrated from a higher level. So, you know, while we think that, you know, we can, I don't know, follow a formula, I think that a lot of what has been created in the community has been born out of our desire for the secret pill and everybody kind of getting together and analyzing, well, what did you experience? Well, what did you experience? Okay, there seems to be some trends. So these are the stages and these are and I think that out of our curiosity of how to define and explain and move forward and all of that, we actually created almost like an archetype of relationship. Mm-hmm. But we tend to forget that, you know, at least from my perspective, it seems that twins, every couple or pair seem to have come in with such different circumstances, such different patterns of imperfection, such profound extremes even of what you experience, that trying to find that common ground, I can see, you know, just from what you're saying, it takes a lot of introspection. And what I think for me personally from this perspective is that the higher perspective I get, the more I realize that it's never really been for me about, like you said, creating union with another. It's always been moving up, up, up in vibration in my own perspective, which enables me to open up and unlock all those blocked and locked doors that have kept me from being in union, not only with a sacred counterpart, but also with other people. So it's a practical application, this whole process. And that's why I love the idea for your video series, because there's so many things that we can learn that create union. And mm-hmm. So I got to tell you, I really, you know, am very excited that you're doing this together, you know, and Rob showing up as the masculine. So many people just need to understand the masculine standpoint, because to this day, it doesn't seem that we have a ton of the divine masculine who has, I want to say, really come into sacred union. Forget twin flames, just in sacred union, awake and aware enough or within themselves enough to actually, you know, move into that place of exploration. So I don't know. I'm very excited for what you guys are doing. So what kind of topics are you guys going to be sharing in the series?
Well, very much in agreement with what you said about how it all seems to relate back to oneself. Each topic that written out, and we're still writing out some topics and writing some points to mm-hmm. support those topics, but the individual topics of, let's say, loving yourself, remembering to play, healing. Now, healing would mean within yourself again, releasing expectations. Even something as
coming
simple
into
as,
balance.
Yeah, manifestation. Most of these topics, as we've written them down and we're looking at them, they're individual topics. Mm-hmm. It's not about creating the relationship. It's not really completely about changing somebody else so that they can now fit in your life, or changing yourself to fit in their life. It's about making sure that you are grounded first.
Right.
Grounded and set up and as prepared as you can be for however the divine decides your relationship is going to come together.
Right.
Yeah, and what we've tried to do is make them practical tips and tools, because that's what people want. They really want step by step. Okay, give me the process. And of course, in this sort of a thing, there is no process. It's not you do A, you do B, you do C, because it's a spiral, right? We're always healing, we're always growing, we're always going deeper.
Mm-hmm.
But within these different areas, we in our own journeys have seen some ideas that we've used, some tips, some thoughts, some experiences. So we thought, you know what, let's share these. I mean, we've shared a lot of it through our story, but because it was sort of in the flow of our story, you'd really have to glean in each video and pull out those tips. So we thought, you know what, let's make them separate video, very specific.
I love that. And actually, you know, as we are talking, and of course my brain, you know how I work, guys.
It starts
going, and I'm thinking, workshops. Yeah, definitely, because you know, sometimes even though this process is divinely guided, and each of us have our own patterns, sometimes it's really good to come together in a concentrated way to literally address some things, like focus your energy and attention and take time to go through exercises, you know, writing certain things down or introspecting as a group or talking or interacting and stuff. This would be a great workshop series.
Yes, I love that idea.
So you might want to think about that, going from, you know, your video series and then see who'd like to participate in practicing those things. I would say it's the practical application, and you know, people getting to bring their real life situations, you know, in together and have your input and feedback on their specific situations. I don't know. It might just be a smaller kind of thing with more interaction than a, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Why? More intimate, practical. I love that. That's-
yeah. Oh, you know me, I've got a million of them. I just as a segue, one of the things that's just my burning passion is to see information that is desperately needed by people and help that is really needed by people. And I'm still actively going into different groups, and it's interesting because I'm actually spending more time in just general spiritual communities, and you still see the seeking of the love explanations, the how can I get into relationship, how can I, even if they're not like twin flame followers or a twin flame, you know, self-proclaimed twin flame, whatever, they're still looking for relationship everywhere you go, and there's still the struggle. So it is a more global topic than, you know, some people might think. And I'm just so dedicated to helping people get the information that they need from the people that have that information. Just saying.
We are going to be putting out these videos. We're going to be putting out the fundamentals, is what I would call them, that are common to most relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have some points, some underlying help to go along with those fundamentals. And then we're going to let people just comment back to us. And we will very definitely let the population that is commenting back to us guide us to where our next bits of information are going to come from and how we're going to present them. If people want more videos, if they want more in-depth videos, we will likely go that route. Mm-hmm. If there's a call out there to put together a workshop where we talk live and in person and allow other people to share their input as well, which is really what the workshops are really about. It's about the sharing of information.
Mm-hmm.
Workshops are beautiful that way. Then, yeah, there might definitely be a chance to put together another workshop.
Yeah, I think so. Do you guys think you're going to ever do another workshop in Banff?
Absolutely.
Ah, I love that answer.
After we did the first one and there was just raving reviews of how much people love Banff and love the area and the energy. I mean, you know from being there, the energy out there is just magical.
Oh, it just calls to me. It calls to my soul. In fact, I just posted that heart that I saw of yours on Facebook. Now, that graphic, that's not an actual physical structure, right? That's something someone made.
I think so. It was actually, funny enough, one of the ladies from the Chicago workshop that we connected with mm-hmm. and have become really good friends with, she sends me all sorts of heart pictures because everybody knows I like hearts.
Yes.
So she sent me that and I was just wowed by it. So I honestly don't even know if it's real or not, but it's beautiful nonetheless, and it's got mountains, it's got water, and I thought it was stunning. So it represents Banff area.
And I don't think I've ever been to an area where I felt more aligned with Mother Earth.
Yes.
I mean, and the spiritual work that was done there, you know, I guess I want to just encourage people who are called to sacred spaces or called to the beautiful, you know, places that we can go on the planet, go. Because, God, the connection that I had with my own divinity, with my own higher self in that experience, especially with you guys and with the amazing, beautiful people that were there. And that we can almost always guarantee that when we really set out with those intentions, we are going to draw our soul tribe, our soul family. And so if you feel called to go to one, I'm just sort of saying this to my listeners, please do, because the most incredible things happened on that journey. And it all really did have to do with self. We really were not talking about, we were talking some bit about relationships. And I'm sure there was a lot of that conversation just between each other, like, oh, tell me your story. Oh, I will tell you my story, that kind of stuff. But overall, the beautiful opening up that people did, it's just amazing.
Oh, and so much growth happened. Even just in the weekend, we could see people's growth and transformation.
Yeah.
And of course, then it goes on after they go home. But yeah, it's because there's so much powerful, beautiful energy out there.
Oh.
I mean, it's my favorite place that I've been so far on this earth. Anytime I'm struggling or not doing well, I go to Banff and the energy just transforms me.
Talk a little bit about the significance of the Canadian Rockies in your union.
I'll let you start.
Well, on the very first day that we met, I took Angie on a tour of the Rockies. I've always loved the mountains. I moved to Calgary, Alberta, Canada here to get closer to the mountains. I can get right to Banff for an hour and a half drive. And I was really, really enjoying life, getting out to the mountains 30, 40 times a week. No, not a week. A year. Yeah.
Live there.
I was going there almost every week just to absorb nature, get myself a little bit more grounded, even though I was happy with the amount of grounding that I was experiencing anyway. And then Angie comes into my life, and on the very first day that we met, I said, well, why not? I was thinking to myself, take her on a tour of the Rockies. She wasn't terribly familiar with the area here. She just moved to Calgary. So that is what I did. Great big 17-hour day of touring all over the place. Put about 300 miles on the vehicle I was driving. Stopped, 20 times?
Please.
Yeah, various little viewpoints and areas of interest. It was just a magical day.
I was just going to say, not to be cliche, but the word magical is the only way to put it. And before I could even say that, you said it.
Yeah.
It truly was magical. And it was just, I mean, again, we didn't know anything about twin flames back then. We didn't know anything about sacred union or connection. We just met in this weird, unique way. And then he magically had 2 weeks off of work. He was just starting holidays when we connected. And he just said, do you want to go to the mountains? And of course, I hadn't even met him in person yet. The morning we went to the mountains was when we first met in person. And you'd think, I mean, a 23-year-old girl meeting some guy to go to the mountains, it's not the smartest thing. But I just felt like I knew him. I didn't even understand how I knew him, but I just knew I knew him.
Right.
And, I mean, the day was just, we had probably the first 20 minutes was a bit uncomfortable. Because you're like sitting in a vehicle with some stranger going, who are you?
what are we doing? And is it going to take all day?
And then after that, it was just the floodgates open and we could not stop talking. We talked nonstop for 17 hours. And on the way home, we had just the most incredible experience that solidified our bond. And it just changed our lives. And from then, we were inseparable. So the mountains have always been our place.
Right. And then you ended up... Oh, go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, whether or not we were together or not over the next 17 years or so... the bond that we shared that day and in a few other days that followed.
Many others still, yeah.
Yeah, those bonds could never, ever be ignored. They were special beyond anything that I'd ever experienced with anybody else.
Even all the years when we were apart, you know, I'd drive through the mountains and of course he was who I thought of. You know, every mountain I looked at, I was like, we climbed that mountain, we did that. So he was always in my mind, even through all the years we were apart.
So that really, that was the symbolism. And it's interesting because when I think of Rob, I think of a mountain. I mean,
yeah.
I really do. Because that depth of connection with the earth. And I want to say that large heart, you know, the large heart and the open heart associated with how high of a peak can you climb to reach towards God. And I just think of him and having place for solitude in him. You know, that he's connected with that inner self. And of course that is you know, the masculine when they really bloom into their being. So yeah, mountains.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about keeping ego in check, ego is one of the tougher things that it takes to eventually learn to live in a form of balance with. Ego often throws us out of balance, but if you want to have your ego put in check, just try hiking to the summit of a mountain that's a mile high from beginning to end. When you get to the top, you have no ego left. You just have thankfulness that your heart's still beating.
And that your legs still work.
Yeah, they still work. Oh, yes. And they still have to take you back down, so they better continue to work.
Now, you guys continued to go back to those mountains after you were together, you know, and once you came back together. And of course, they were such a great setting for a lot of those beautiful videos that you did. Do you have any like special favorites, like special favorite spots?
We have a few.
Yeah.
Oh, Sherbrooke Lake is one of my favorites. Of course, anything within sight of Castle Mountain, which was the first big
climb. First
mountain we climbed together. That's very significant.
Right.
Oh.
I'd only known Rob a week. And I had always said, you know, this mountain, Castle Mountain, it's so pretty. I'd love to climb it someday. He's like, well, let's go do it. I'd never climbed a mountain. I had no clue what it took to climb a mountain.
Right.
I had experience. I was quite fit, but I wasn't mountain fit.
Mm-hmm.
So I bravely climbed a mountain, not knowing what I was getting myself into. And it was a very long day, but absolutely incredible. And to this day, every time we go to the mountains and we drive past that one, I still have to take a picture.
Yeah. And that's
how many pictures I have of Castle Mountain, I don't even know, and I don't need any more, but
hundreds.
It's my mountain.
Yeah.
So when we talk about climbing mountains, we don't put on the harnesses and grab the ropes and away we go with a belt load of pitons and up we go. We do mountains that can be summited by hiking. We do what's called scrambling, which by definition is a steep hike to a summit. Sometimes you need all your feet and your hands to drag yourself up some real steep areas. And other times there's mountains that actually have an easy way to the top, so easy that you don't need to use your hands once. But we do scrambling. And I've never been much of doing anything where one slip and I could be dead. So I like the hiking aspect of it. And besides, it's really super good exercise too. Not that using ropes isn't. That's going straight against gravity, but that's our style. We do scrambling.
Well, and I, you know, it's funny because I'm glad you clarified that for listeners, because when we were going through the mountains on those roads, and I'm thinking, you climbed that mountain? You climbed that mountain? I mean, I remember asking that question. It was like, oh my God, how do you even climb a mountain like that without killing yourself? But yeah.
Yeah, the descriptions are often, they seem so easy. You look at a mountain, you just climb up through the tree line until you get to that little ridge, and you just ankle up over there and grab the summit ridge there and just an extra half an hour to the top, just following that little piece on the skyline. It sounds so easy.
I know.
It's not so easy.
Oh, my gosh. Well, tell me, this is something I've always wondered, what is a day in the life for Rob and Angie? I mean, just, what's a regular day or a regular week look like for you guys?
Okay, so I'm already laughing because so many people in our videos comment about how sweet we are and how much love we have for each other.
Oh, boy.
And I often say, you know what? We actually tone it down for you guys in the videos. If you saw in our regular day, you would laugh.
Really?
Oh, my God. I don't know how many times we'll say, you know, if there was a camera right on us right now, people would be laughing at us, or they'd be like, oh my God, get a room, you guys.
Well, like, that's encouraging.
Like, for example, right now, we're talking to you. There's no video anywhere. We're sitting here holding hands, and we got two of our knees are touching. We're all kind of snuggled, nestled in here, having a conversation with you.
Aww.
So, yeah, you know, you get up in the morning on a Monday and you go to work and you come home in the evening and I give Angie 20 hugs in an evening.
Well, wait, let's back up. If we're really going to tell this, we got to tell the whole thing. Tell about the snuggle alarm.
Okay. The day starts out early in the morning with an alarm that goes off 15 minutes before the actual get up alarm. And we call that the snuggle alarm. So the first alarm goes off, we get to snuggle for 15 minutes.
Aww.
Then the second alarm goes off, and that's the get up. And if you have to have a shower and build your lunch, you can still get to work on time. But if you've already built your lunch and have had your shower, let's say the night before, hey, that's just an extension of snuggle time. You get an extra 15 or 20 minutes before you actually have to get up out of bed.
So you guys probably get stuff done ahead of time a lot.
Oh, sure.
I mean, seriously, who builds a snuggle alarm into their morning routine?
I'll tell you what, smart people do. You know, smart people do. That is called like proactive relationship, but not just because of trying to have, you know, let's do these things. It's like you obviously want to spend that time with each other and you're carving it out for each other. That's amazing.
It's just very important to us. I mean, we, especially because we've had so long of a journey, you know, it's been a 20-year journey with 17 years of a break in between. Mm-hmm. We honor and respect it and value it so much that we want to nurture it.
Right.
So we give ourselves the time every single day to do things to make sure that we let each other know that we love each other, that we respect each other, that we value each other.
Right.
Even on a day where we're getting up at 4 a.m. to jump on an airplane and go on vacation, we'll set that snuggle alarm 10 minutes before we actually have to get up. So at least we still have that first 10 minutes with each other, acknowledging each other before we have to step into our day and get things done.
That's beautiful. All right. So what goes on after the snuggle alarm? Well, I don't need to know details. What's the rest of your day look like? Oops.
Okay. Stepping beyond, you know, for me, you know, I go to work and then 11:11 happens.
Oh, yes, right.
Yes, 11, we still, 11:11 in the morning happens. And if I happen to be not on a phone with a client or serving somebody at the counter, I work in a car dealership just to make things easy. I'm not in sales specifically. I'm in automotive parts. But if 11:11 comes along in the morning, I'll send Angie a text at 11:11 saying, aww, hi, 11:11, love you, and a couple of little emojis, usually kissy, flamey ones. And I hit send. And Angie's doing the same thing. If she catches 11:11, she'll send me that text later on in the morning.
Yes, and then we also do it at 1:11. Okay. So even though we're both at separate jobs throughout our day, we just make sure we acknowledge that we're thinking of each other. And of course, 11:11, 1:11, those are common twin flame numbers or common, you know, spiritual awakening numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just significant to our journey because Rob really awoke to the realization we were twin flames on 11:11, November 11th.
Oh, wow.
So it's just always been very impactful for our own journey. So we make sure we acknowledge those times in our days.
And if we miss one of those times, well, we often do still send a text saying, was busy,
missed.
just to let each other know that we're still thinking of each other. So it's not like we walk out the door at 7 in the morning and don't think of each other at all until 5 or 6 o'clock when we have a chance to get back together after work.
Right.
No, it's we acknowledge each other during the day.
Yeah.
And then the evening arrives.
And I get home before Rob, so I have time to do all my twin flame responding to questions and all of that kind of stuff. And then always when Rob comes home, I go greet him. I don't just sit on the couch and wait for him to come to me. I always go down to the door and we say hello. And
yeah, our little dog comes bounding after Angie, and the three of us usually have a little love fest for a few seconds.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry about that. I keep on running over you.
No, go.
And then we get into our evenings. We have our own individual things that we like to do. Sometimes I get into one of my hobbies, or Angie will get into, well, she spends a little bit more time on the Facebooks of the world than I do, talking with other people. But we still have our own individual interests that we do in the evening. But if I can sneak upstairs a few times during the evening, or if I'm upstairs and she's downstairs, whatever, if I can find her and just give her a little kiss on the cheek if she's busy, or just give her another little hug or snuggle, that's all fine. I'm good with that.
I'm chuckling because it reminds me, we're both fire signs. So we're both very diligent. What's the right word that I'm looking for?
We're high effort people.
High effort, high motivated. So we often make lists, to-do lists.
Oh, yes.
And Rob had made one a little while ago. I think it was on a long weekend, which is when we make even more lists because we have more days to do stuff.
Right.
And on his list, he also added kiss girl locks.
Aww.
It just is so exemplifies our day. You know, even if we are, like Rob said, doing our own thing when we're home together, we will come find each other and just give each other a hug or a kiss. Oftentimes, even we've laughed, we'll be in the laundry room helping each other do laundry, and then we'll be giving each other a hug and a kiss there, and we're laughing going, God, if people saw us, they would think we were nuts, you know. Or even in the grocery store, we're like walking hand in hand through the grocery store often, sneaking a kiss down this aisle.
Do that too. I'm sure we've been caught on camera way too many times.
Aw.
Just really going funny.
I think that's adorable and sweet, and I really think, you know, that that's creating a union. That is, well, and let's face it, when you have your heart so wide open to each other and you don't have a lot of blocks, it doesn't mean, I know everybody has their days and everybody has their struggles. But when you have that open-hearted connection with another person and a determination to, you know, create that union, it's got to be really, really beautiful and rewarding.
It really is. And even, you know, there's not to say that we don't have struggles or challenging times. You know, we sometimes come home from a day and had a bad day at work or struggles at work, and right. we're not in the best space, but we're so able to own our stuff and say, hey, I'm not in a good space, or I'm sorry I barked at you. This is what was going on. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the great thing about when you've done your healing work, you're able mm-hmm. to own your stuff and not put it on the other person and project it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree with that more. I mean, that is probably the biggest obstacle people have in relationships in general, is that they don't own their stuff. They don't yes. realize that, geez, when I'm in this particular space, I'm creating something and I'm putting it out there for other people to experience as well. And we can kind of sometimes energetically blame other people without even realizing it. So owning our stuff is so important.
Yep. Yes. And I love what you just said about the fact that we're creating. And just to go back a step in terms of the new video series we're doing, that's actually why we chose the words creating union, not coming into union, not getting to union, is because we are always creating. Everything we're thinking, saying, doing, acting, speaking is creating.
Yep, we're creating our realities. Yep.
Totally. So it's learning to consciously create rather than subconsciously create.
And that is one of my favorite topics. That is like my favorite topic, is creating reality. And so much of it, exactly what you said, it's consciously taking the steering wheel of the situation. It's not saying I'm going to drive the situation where I want it to go. It is looking at what's in the moment of now and consciously saying, what choice do I make in this moment of now to create what I want to create?
Exactly. So perfectly said. I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm very passionate about helping people understand that everything we're doing is creating. So instead of creating from a level that you're not even aware of, start to become aware so that you can create the life you do want, not the life you don't want.
Absolutely. Bashar talks about, I love Bashar. He always talks about everything is based on what you prefer. You know, it's, do you prefer this or do you prefer that, and how we can create the reality we prefer. Sometimes we just don't know what we prefer, and that's where it gets confusing.
Yes.
That all comes back to knowing yourself. Yep. It really does. And being able to understand what works for you, what your purpose is. Mm-hmm. That's also very, very important. There's sometimes when Angie's working on stuff that's very much for her purpose, and I know that I just need to sneak up and just give her a little kiss and then disappear because she's in her purpose. But that just reinforcement of love during that time is all it takes to continue on for another hour or two.
Well, and it's detached. I want to say it's not detachment. It's not being codependent. I love that.
Yeah. I wanted to touch on that because sometimes what we do is we sound very codependent, but if Angie's super busy in an evening, maybe that isn't the evening that she's going to get five kisses in an evening. Maybe that's the time that she's left alone right up till the time where it's time to turn out the lights and pack it in for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa. Doesn't mean that anything's wrong. It's just how that day was built, and they're all fine. They're all good days. I think they're all good days personally because we start out with that 15-minute snuggle at the beginning of the day.
And we end that way, too.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
If it starts and finishes with the I love you, then the bits that happen in the middle sometimes are just all portions of what we would call real life. Things that you
right.
can't think about. Things you can't do anything about for that particular day.
Right. That's beautiful. All right. So when are you guys planning to start your new video series?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that. So, because it's Valentine's coming up, we thought, what a perfect time. And, you know, I love how the universe works and how divine it is. We didn't even think of this series even like 2 weeks ago. It just started coming to us. And what timing, how perfect it is that it's coming up to Valentine's when we're just starting to prepare for it. Mm-hmm. So we thought it makes perfect sense to start it on Valentine's because our very first video that we want to do is creating union through loving yourself. And what better time to do that than Valentine's? Because Valentine's, so many people that aren't in union are always like, oh, I hate this day. It's the love day and I don't have anybody to love. But you know what? Yes, you do.
You have always
yourself.
Have yourself.
And that's where
I agree.
Start.
Yep.
So why not learn some tips and tools how to love yourself on a day that's celebrating love?
Absolutely. I totally believe in that Valentine's Day actually being, I mean, we can express our love for other people, obviously. But like you said, I mean, we need to have that self-love on peace in place first. And it's a great day to just to honor yourself and to nurture yourself and to do some beautiful things for yourself as well as other people.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Well, good. We're going to go ahead and make sure we have, the information about your channel and stuff like that in the notes here and anywhere that I share this so that people can go ahead and see your video series. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up here because we want to try to keep this under an hour, but I want to thank you guys so much for joining me today. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Well,
yes.
We always enjoy connecting with you, Deb. It's just so nice to reconnect because it's been a while. So
I know.
Great
well,
to
anyway.
Chat again.
Oh, what did you just say?
I was just saying it's great to chat again.
It sure is. And I want to continue our dialogue because I know that there's going to be more information. It's funny because I'm finding ambassadors, for my channel and for the Awakening Toolbox. Which, as you guys know, is like, I want to say it's like a learning academy for individuals to discover themselves. And, you guys are perfect for that twin flame ambassador kind of role. And so I really would love to have you guys back. So.
Oh, we'd be honored.
We certainly will. And I'm looking forward to watch that toolbox fill up with not only with anything that we'd be involved with, but with all the other people you know as well. That's going to be a fantastic toolbox, as you call it, of information.
It's going to be, it's a long-term venture. It's going to be growing slowly, but as it grows slowly and steadily, I'm really hoping that it's just going to be filled with quality information for people that are looking to expand their own unique, authentic beings and get in touch with themselves. So anyways, I want to thank you guys, Rob and Angie, for joining me today on the Collective Awakening. This week's Collective Awakening has been brought to you by RVF Radio Network in conjunction with True Sacred Unions, the Awakening Toolbox. Please subscribe on Blog Talk Radio if you'd like notification of future shows. You can also contact me, Debbie Dubois, through awakeningtoolbox.com if you have any questions for me or my guests. You can also follow me on Facebook at True Sacred Unions, the Awakening Toolbox. I have two Facebook groups on Facebook as well, True Sacred Union and Raising Vibrational Frequencies, that I would love to have you join if you're interested. I stream this broadcast weekly on Sundays at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time so that those of you on the West Coast of the U.S. and those of you in Europe can listen in live. Thank you so much for listening and being a part of the Collective Awakening.